please make me a fan.
What the fuck?
Mental vacation.
Makes me seem like a horrible individual.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Have anal sex with a person who, prior to the deed, has swallowed a piece of raw bacon.
What?
like fucking a chicken.
Well, making a fan of your crime.
They still had places to go. You know, there was still bar.
Make me a fan, Cap.
Hello, Governor. Welcome back to the Make Me a Fan podcast. As always, I am your host, Sean McGregor. I'm joined tonight with my co-host, my brother TJ. Hi, TJ.
What's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing? You still feeling sick?
No. I'm actually quite a bit better. Been taking some Mucinex and some Dayquil and NyQuil.
I think you're getting me sick because my throat's fucking killing me right now. I don't know why. Waiting for you to finish your notes. My throat's, I feel like a 12-year-old boy right now. It keeps wanting to crack.
Yeah.
And when I say 12-year-old boy, somehow I get into like a black Atlanta slang. I don't know why. I sound kind of like a creepy pedophile.
Oh, we don't want none of that around here.
No, we don't. But we are going to have a lot darker of a topic today.
All right. I'm up for some change for a little bit. See how it goes.
Yeah. Usually our topics are pretty fun and lighthearted. We try to have a lot of jokes and laughter, but, you know, we want to be fans of new things and not everything is funny. But hopefully we can find humor in this because we do like a lot of fucked up things. So this episode's a little more serious and educational than the last couple. But yeah, I'm sure we'll probably get some sick jokes in here. So today's topic is the Bender family, also known as the Bloody Benders, who I've never heard of before. Have you ever heard of them?
No. This is the first time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of serial killers. Spoiler alert, they're serial killers.
Dang, story ruined.
Yeah, I'm pretty knowledgeable about them, but I've never heard about this family before. So the Bloody Benders were a family of serial killers who owned an inn and small general store in Labette County of southeastern Kansas from 1871 to 1873. And they used that to kill a shitload of people. Which, if you don't know, 1871 and 1873 is way before H.H. Holmes, who did his killings around 1893. You know that, TJ?
I have actually heard of him. Yeah, I read the Devil in the White City? I think it's called.
Yeah, there's been a few books written about him.
Yeah, it was about the World's Fair of 1812, or I don't even know what
1889.
Yeah,
I think, or 1888, something around then.
Yeah,
but yeah, and Jack the Ripper, who also was around 1888. So these are the only serial killers I could find basically in America before anyone else. Like everyone says H.H. Holmes is the first serial killer.
Yeah, I think that's one of his like big taglines that people keep using.
America's false. First. Yeah, he's not. These people are.
Yeah.
But there's also a couple brothers who I think we should do a topic on in the future because I never heard of these fuckers either.
Okay.
And they're the Harp brothers, and they were from the 1700s.
Oh, wow.
And they killed a shitload of people.
Was America even discovered in the 1700s?
I think, was it 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But we all know that's a lie now.
Oh, it is?
Well, I don't know about the dates, but...
Oh, yeah, because he wasn't the first one?
Yeah, the Vikings were.
Ah.
The Irish Vikings.
Oh, yeah, go Irish.
Our ancestors. That's why Minnesota is called the Vikings. That's where we founded it.
Yeah.
No, wait. I don't want to be contributed to the Vikings because I don't watch football, but I heard they suck.
Yeah, for the most part.
You're a football fan.
Yeah.
Who's the best team?
Oh, I'm gonna man.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of football. Yeah. Shut the fuck up. All right.
Go Dallas Cowboys.
That part's not making it in because I coughed.
Oh.
So basically, in 1870, the Engel family, you know, from Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, Laura.
Yeah, I didn't want to name them all off, but they left their home in southeastern Kansas, where they lived for about a year, and headed back to Wisconsin. That's where me and TJ are currently filming this podcast. Yeah. We live in Wisconsin. We don't live on the prairie or anything like that. We live, you know, in a city. We have flushable toilets.
Oh, thank God.
But, yeah, that same year, a new family moved into the area. That family was the Benders.
Dun, dun, dun.
I like that. They were spiritualists. I'm not good at talking. Hi, I'm Sean. But, yeah, spiritualists are basically people that believe they can, the spirits of the dead can communicate with the living people. So that kind of religion, kind of new there. You know, kind of like gay people in Texas or black people in Texas or, I don't know.
Anybody but cowboys and oil tycoons in Texas.
Yeah. So John Bender Sr. and his family settled in Kansas at this cabin in 1870 near the great Osage. I have no idea how to pronounce it. I'm one of the world's worst talkers. Hashtag worst talker. Also known as the Santa Fe Trail, where settlers would pass through heading west, you know, get gold, hookers, go to Las Vegas, whatever. The older Bender, John Bender Sr., was basically called Paul. And he got 160 acres in, you know, Labette County. His son John, who sometimes is called Thomas, but that's the only time I ever heard about him called Thomas. Yeah, apparently he got a smaller parcel that adjoined Posland, but never lived or worked on it. So I don't know why the fuck they got it. Maybe that'll come later. I didn't do that much research. But the Benders also included Ma and a daughter named Kate. Ma and Pa spoke mostly German, and their English apparently was so terrible that no one could understand them. But the younger Benders spoke fluent English. So they built this one-room house near the trail with like an old wagon cover as a curtain to divide the home into two parts. The front part was a public inn and a store, and behind the curtain was where they lived. So, I mean, how fucked up is that? It's like buying a garage and throwing up a tarp in the middle and then having a quote-unquote store and a quote-unquote inn in the front, and right behind the fucking tarp you're sleeping.
Sounds pretty fancy to me.
Yeah, I mean, how much room can you really have for an inn? You got a bunch of cots in there?
They have more, you know, wagon covers separating, you know, little parcel areas for tiny rooms or what?
I mean, general store, I could see being small. You could have that size. I guess we're pretty spoiled as Americans now.
Yeah.
They're probably a lot smaller back then.
Well, yeah, this was 1800, so yeah.
Yeah, 1870.
They probably didn't sell too much stuff. I mean, now we think of stores. I mean, you have, well, all the, you know, what is it, the manufactured fruit, food, drinks. I mean, come on, you got like the whole wall is lined with drinks nowadays. So back then, I'm sure they just had like, what? Water.
Or, yeah, well, you don't need 70 different deodorant options.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't even know if they had deodorant back then, actually.
Yeah, well, this store apparently sold the good shit.
Like
booze, tobacco, horse feed, black powder, and food.
Sounds about right.
What else do you need in life?
Yeah, I don't think porn was invented yet, so I mean, it wouldn't be selling that. You know, Playboy wasn't around, so.
No, definitely not. But speaking of Playboy, Kate Bender, the young girl, she was apparently the most outgoing. She was a fortune teller and a self-proclaimed healer. People said she and her mother practiced witchcraft, but Kate was attractive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But judging by the pictures I've seen, she's okay.
Yeah. Depends on your taste.
Yeah, nothing really special in my opinion. But apparently in like prairie times, she was pretty hot. So she used that and her so-called psychic abilities to draw in customers. Customers that they could dun dun dun,
dun, dun.
Murder.
All right. So yeah, to kind of build a little bit on top of that, I'll give you some more history. Hopefully I won't bore you guys too much, but yeah. During the late 19th century, the United States experienced very rapid growth. The population exploded to a staggering 76 million by 1900 from a measly 72 million in 1810.
Wait, we're at 76. I just asked the shit out of that. We were at 76 million in 1870?
No, 1900. It was 76 million. But in 1810, it was only 7.2 million.
So in 120 years, we've grown to, what, 350 million?
Yeah, I think we're about that, yeah.
God damn, we need to talk to China about their birth control.
Right? We need to start forcing it down people's throats.
Yeah.
Or in their
arms. Abortions for everyone.
Yeah. So this, you know, huge influx of people fueled an expansion across America, like to the west. So during the middle of the century, America was also at the height of the California Gold Rush. And then by 1862, the United States passed the Homestead Act in hopes that more people would move out west to populate the land and also cultivate it. And I'm assuming this is what, you know, Ma and Pa used to get their land in Kansas. You know, along with them, you know, hundreds of people traveled to, through Kansas for their quest of fortune in the West. But sadly, some of these travelers were never heard from again.
Dun, dun, dun.
The first body was discovered in May of 1871. It was a body of a man named Mr. Jones.
Mr. Jones and me, gonna be big, big stars.
I don't know that song, otherwise I'd sing along.
I think that's Counting Crows.
Oh, I've heard of them.
Remember the music video that is a white dude with fucking dreadlocks and a brown corduroy jacket looking like an asshole?
No.
Yeah, fuck that band.
All right. So Mr. Jones was discovered in Drum Creek. He had his skull crushed and his throat cut. Yeah.
Nice.
The owner of Drum Creek was suspected, but no action was taken. So then, after the winter of the winter of 1871, in February of 1872, two more bodies were found with the same injuries as Mr. Jones. Now, you know, it may seem pretty strange to have, you know, these three bodies found within like a 9-month period in a small town in Kansas. But, you know, you need to remember that back then there were there were reasons that travelers and like the settlers would disappear or even turn up dead.
Indians?
Yeah. There's Indians, there's thieves, horrible weather, outlaws, and villains. You know, I mean, come on, this was like the wild, wild west time. So, you know, it wasn't all too uncommon. But by, you know, 1873, reports of the missing people who had passed through the area had become so common that travelers finally began to avoid the trail. Due to the, you know, the area's notoriety, there were these vigilance communities that arrested people.
Vigilante?
Yeah, vigilante. Well, yeah, they're called like...
What'd you say?
They're called vigilance communities. Yeah. That's what their names were. So.
That's gay.
Yeah.
Just call them Batman.
That was like probably the popper...
Just call them Batman.
I'm Batman. I'm Green Arrow.
You're Green Arrow?
I don't know.
I'm Mac-Man.
Mac Man?
You could be Mac Robin.
Mac, I don't want to be Robin. I want to be my own hero. My own vigilante.
You could be Mac Flash.
All right, that works.
All right, go ahead, Mac Flash.
So yeah, these like, you know,
Mac Man signing out.
These vigilantes would, you know, go through and they'd arrest people who they thought, you know, were committing these crimes. Many of them were honest and innocent men, but, you know, because of these committees, they were basically run out of the country. But... So I guess, you know, the biggest case that drew disappearance that drew attention to this family and also all these disappearances happened later on in 1872.
Yeah, that's the guy whose name keeps changing.
Yeah. It was this guy named like George Launcher or George Longer. I guess, you know, in modern history.
Can we just call him Long Dong?
Yeah. Mr. Long Dong.
Yeah, we're going to call him Long Dong from now on.
So Mr. Long Dong. You know, he had a series of unfortunate events. His son died of, I believe it was the flu. And then his wife died while giving birth to his daughter.
What a bunch of pussies.
Yeah, I mean, well, they didn't have medicine back then, but you think they'd be able to withstand something.
Yeah, come on. Work on the immune system, pussies.
Right? Well, so you know, due to George's family, Mr. Long Dong, you know, his wife and son died, and he just has this, like, newborn daughter. So he went to move back to Iowa to go live with his, I guess he had parents or relatives out there. Well, they never arrived. So Mr. Long Dong's neighbor was a Dr. William York. He went out looking for them, and he followed the Osage Trail or Osage. So basically, what would you call it? The Santa Fe Trail, I think is what you...
Yeah, Santa Fe.
Yeah. So, you know, he questioned people, you know, like along this whole trail. And eventually this Dr. York disappeared himself.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. That's, yeah. Well, this Mr. York had some powerful friends and family.
Dun, dun, dun.
He had a brother named Colonel Ed York. And then his other brother was the Kansas Senator Alexander York. So the colonel led this big investigation in Labette County. They actually even questioned the Benders because there were some claims that, you know, a woman was threatened by a knife from Ma Bender. And, you know, they questioned him and nothing happened. Stupid cell phone. So, yeah, so they questioned him and nothing really happened from it. Eventually, they had this huge town hall meeting, and it was decided that they were just going to go through and search every homestead in the town for evidence for the disappearance. But sadly, you know, weather turned bad, and it was several days before they could actually get a search party together. And so meanwhile, while this weather was bad, the Benders disappeared. Yeah. So somebody noticed that the Benders... was it their, you know, their
inn?
Their inn was empty.
Their Bates Motel, basically.
Oh, yeah. That just started this past week, didn't it? Or no, it was 2 weeks ago, I think.
No, right? It started this week, and we're watching it after.
Ah, okay. Well,
spoiler alert, we're filming this episode early.
Oh,
but, man. Yeah, we watched Bates Motel.
Yeah, it's a good show. Good
Hashtag show. Tweet us.
Tweet us. So, you know, they noticed that the Benders were gone, and so they went to go search their land. And when they entered the home, you know, they saw this curtain there, and they smelled this horrific smell. And they basically, you know, eventually found it or, found the smell to this trap door, mm-hmm. which led to, like, this basement room. And there was blood everywhere. There was, like, clotted blood on the floor and blood on the walls.
What? I got something.
What?
Did I just interrupt the flow by saying I have something?
Maybe.
You're getting on a roll.
Oh, I don't know. I was just getting excited.
I was listening to a different...
Talking about blood here.
Well, I was listening to a podcast today.
Yeah.
And this dude died in, like, the back hallway.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell the story. Go on.
He died in the back hall.
All right. Now you're curious, right?
Yeah.
Okay. He was at a shopping mall, right?
Okay.
You know, like, the mall.
Okay.
And chick couldn't get into work through the front cage. You know how they lock?
Yeah, the thing that they
the roll down cage. Yeah. So she went around back, found him in the hallway with like a 10-foot pool of blood around him.
Oh, man.
Yeah, face down and 10-foot pool of blood.
Yeah.
So they called him the detective for homicide.
Okay.
Homicide got in there, and within like 2 minutes, he's like, it wasn't homicide.
What?
Yeah.
How did he figure that out?
Because apparently when you get shot or stabbed,
yeah,
you fall forward. You know that, right?
Yeah.
You don't fall backwards like the movies.
Hmm. Okay.
But you also, when anyone ever dies, it's called a death pose, I think it is.
Okay.
Where one of the legs is always crisscrossed over the other leg.
Hmm.
Like 9 out of 10 times.
Okay.
So he's laying there face down a pool of blood. He's like 6'4", like 240 pounds. He's a big fucking guy.
Dang, yeah.
And they noticed an envelope on the desk near him that's folded a certain way. The way you fold it to keep powder in.
Okay.
And as soon as they saw that envelope, the guy was like, it's not a homicide. It's an overdose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, they deducted from that powder that when they rolled him over, they saw a needle still in his arm.
Okay.
So basically, the dude fucking, he was doing coke for like 10 years.
Yeah.
Or not 10 years, 2 years, sorry. And it wasn't having an effect anymore, so he decided to shoot it up.
Oh, God.
And that's way too fucking much, especially since it was probably like soap.
Yeah.
And he still had the needle in his arm, and he fell. And when he fell, his face completely smashed on the cement. Jeez. 250 pounds, 6'4", just smashing down on the cement.
Yeah.
Like both his orbitals, his jaw, his nose, everything broke. And those mall hallways, they have a slight, you know, incline.
Yeah.
So that if the sprinklers go off or whatever, it'll run out. So it happened overnight. So that little bit of blood coming from his broken face completely, you know, just cleared out his whole body, made this 10-foot puddle of blood.
Dang, that's crazy. But I never thought that would happen just from, like, falling over.
Well, you think about it, like, you've seen those World Star knockout videos where people fucking get knocked out and they just completely ball and their head bounces off the ground.
Yeah, it's like the first thing that makes contact.
Yeah, it's sick and disgusting. But, yeah, sorry. Go on.
Oh, So there was blood, you know, all in the basement, all over the floor. So they went down in there and they started breaking up the concrete floor to see if they could, you know, find any bodies under there, whatever. And they couldn't.
Wait, they had concrete back then?
I guess. Yeah. Well, it was like stone, I guess. Okay. Would probably be better. Cause
before we bought the house, we were looking at houses from like 1940s, I think it were, like old farmhouses. And they had like big beams that were cut out of trees that they cut down and baked the house, and then it was like stone on top of that.
Oh,
so it's probably like that.
Yeah,
I assume.
That's true. Yeah, makes sense. So yeah, so they, you know, they didn't find anything, and they got pissed off. So they actually picked up the house and moved it so they could like dig better.
Yeah,
they didn't find any bodies. So then the next day, you know, they went through the rest of the property with a metal rod and just started like poking it in the soil around like the vegetable garden and the orchard. And that's where they started finding their first bodies. They found, what was it? I think 7 bodies.
Yeah, 7.
Yeah, 7 initially, like their first day. And then seven.
And then another one the next day.
Yeah. So, you know, that's where they ended up finding all the, you know, missing people.
Yeah.
The past like 2 or 2.5 years.
Yeah. Like most of them had their throats cut.
Yep.
And their skull smashed in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So on that, like the killing method, I guess.
Did they find Mrs. Longdong's or Mr. Longdong's daughter?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I was going to go over the victims. But yeah, they ended up finding both him and his daughter. And his daughter was kind of like the only special case out of all the victims, because she was found like totally untouched, or, well, you know, not like her throat wasn't slit and her skull wasn't crushed, but she was found buried like fully clothed and not hurt. So like a lot of people.
Really?
A lot of people just assumed she was buried.
What I read was that Long Dong's daughter, his infant daughter, was found buried underneath her.
Underneath him?
Yeah. Oh, I guess it says one of the bodies was that of a girl estimated to be 8 years old that was badly mutilated. So I guess that wasn't Long Dong's daughter.
Yeah.
My bad.
Oh, that's all right. It's all the same. So
my notes are fucked up.
Like once they started finding all these victims, you know, their method of killing, you know, their MO basically was the hammer to the head and then the slitting of the throat. So rumor had it, you know, that a guest would come to stay at the Bender's Bed and Breakfast. Wow, that's a tongue twister.
Bender's Bed and Breakfast.
Yeah. So, like, the hosts, obviously the Benders, would give the guest the seat of honor at the table, which, you know, was conveniently positioned over this trap door that led into the cellar.
Yeah.
So, you know, they let the, you know, the victim sit there, and then Kate, due to her attractive, you know, nature,
sexiness.
And her pushed up boobies on their little, with those brassieres or something.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Renaissance fair.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so she'd distract the guest, and then, you know, either John Bender or, you know, Pa or Thomas, the son, you know, would come from behind the curtain that was, you know, conveniently behind the guest.
Peekaboo!
And they'd strike, you know, the guest in the back of the head or side of the head with the hammer.
What movie does that sound like to you?
Texas Chainsaw?
Totally.
Yeah. That's basically what
they did.
Yeah, that's what I thought of when I was reading through this. I'm just like, this sounds kind of like...
Like Pa could have been like the old, like, decomposing skeleton body.
Yeah.
Leatherface was Ma.
Yeah, right? But yeah, I mean, that, aside from, you know, eating their victims, they were basically, you know, the Leatherface.
Well, it was prairie times when it gets cold. Yeah. You eat people.
Well, yeah, that's true. You know, and who knows how many. Well, see, that's, I'll get to that when I talk about the victims. There's something that I don't really understand and that I kind of I kind of question.
My section, there's so much I don't understand, dude.
No. Don't worry about that.
All right. So you know, they'd hit them, and then one of the girls would slit the throat of the victim to ensure that, you know, they were dead.
Yeah.
Then they would drop.
As you would.
Yeah. Then they would drop the body into the, you know, through the trap door into the cellar. Then, you know, they'd strip the body and then bury it somewhere else on the property. You know, most of the victims were quite wealthy, but some of them weren't. So, you know, it was surmised that the Benders just killed people just to kill them. You know,
yeah.
They didn't really care about the money.
I don't know if I have it in my notes, but I did read, like, they didn't make shit off the dead bodies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, fuck. It might be in my notes. Stay tuned. Hold on.
All right.
So, yeah, go on with your story.
Yeah. So, like, you know, this was rumor, but there were actually some people that did survive the Benders. There were a couple people that were invited over to their house. One of them was this gentleman named William Pickering. He said he refused to sit, you know, near the wagon cloth because it had stains all over it. And he was threatened with a knife by Kate Bender. And then I guess he saw the knife and fled.
Do we call her Kate Beckinsdale?
Yeah.
I'd rather picture her as Kate Beckinsdale than the picture I actually saw of her.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then I can, like, yeah, she's, you know.
She's attractive. Yeah,
yeah, she's got those leather pants on.
The full body suit.
Yeah.
There you go. And then there was also this, there was a Catholic priest who basically, you know, the same thing happened to him. And then two other gentlemen came in for, you know, Miss Kate Beckinsale's psychic powers. And, you know, they refused to sit near the cloth, too. And, you know, Kate became abusive again and started yelling at him. Kate.
Because usually Ma's the abusive one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Everything I found, like, Ma just flies off the fucking handle. Like our Ma.
She doesn't get her way. She gets a little angry.
And our Ma's German, too.
Yeah, well, that makes sense now. Yeah.
She's super nice. She'll cook everything for you. Talk the wrong way to her.
Yeah.
Fucking it's boom. Over. Backhand.
Right?
Yeah, she almost broke my nose once.
What?
You weren't there for that?
I don't think so.
I think I was probably 14, so you would have been, what, like 9?
Yeah, around there.
Yeah, you're probably watching my porn at that time.
Yeah, probably. It's pretty much all I did back in the day.
Yeah, we got in an argument in the hallway, and I said something, popped me right in the nose.
Nice.
Blood started coming out.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I think that's the last time I really argued with Mom.
Yeah, that kind of put an end to it, huh?
Yeah, she showed me what's up.
See, that's why I liked having you as an older brother. I kind of just watched you and learned what to do and not to do.
Yeah, I took the brunt of all of it.
Oh, yeah. So, like, the last note that I have with, like, for their killing method and, like, you know, the whole disappearances and everything was that while they were searching the home, they discovered, like, a dozen different bullet holes, like, through the roof and the sides of the cabin. And so, like, everybody speculated that some of them didn't die initially when, you know, one of the guys hit them with a hammer. And that's
they fought back.
Yeah, that's probably why they started slitting the throats, too, you know, to ensure death. So, but yeah.
Well, sometimes when you hit them with a hammer, they just start flopping around.
Yeah.
And maybe when they flop around, a gun pops out.
Wasn't that actually from one of, like, the Texas Chainsaw Massacres?
Yeah, he had to keep hitting them.
Yeah, yeah, he hit them a bunch of times.
But you'd think you would slit their throat first and then hit them with a hammer.
Well, yeah, he's coming up from behind them. They don't see him anyway. So
yeah, you might as well just slit their throat, dude. What the fuck are you, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Just slit their throat.
Well,
that's all you got to do.
Maybe they were a little slow or something.
Well, this is 1870.
Yeah, we didn't have a good educational system back then.
Not that we do now.
Well, yeah. Better than back then, hopefully, I would hope.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so I mean, that was their last night because they ran away in the night.
How did that happen? Did you skip over that whole town hall meeting?
No, I already talked about that.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I fell asleep.
Yeah, too much actually, history.
Our notes didn't coincide, so I wasn't able to keep up. Oh. And I'm trying to figure out where we are. I know where we're at now.
Okay. Yeah.
They just escaped.
Yeah.
Because the town hall.
Yeah.
And they escaped in the middle of the night.
Damn protesters.
So they made like Batman, and they escaped in the middle of the night. Oh, dude, I can't do that voice. Sorry, guys. I can't do my Batman voice with my sore throat right now. I think TJ and his prison job got me sick.
Probably.
Oh, he doesn't work for a prison. He works for, like, the justice system.
Yeah.
I spent all day in jail today, basically, just picking up garbage.
Four walls of iron fence.
Four walls of freedom.
Freedom.
All right. So yeah, they took off in middle of the night. Their wagon was found about 400 miles away. Several weeks after the discovery of the bodies, Addison Roach and his son-in-law, William Buxton, were apparently arrested as accessories. In total, 12 men of bad reputable in general would be arrested, including Brockman. Which, I don't... Fuck, did you talk about Brockman?
No, I don't think... That doesn't sound familiar. He's not a victim.
Yeah, this shit's so confusing. It's... Spoiler alert, it's going to get really confusing. I advise everyone to take notes because I had trouble following this shit and I tried simplifying it. So all had been involved in disposing victim stolen goods with Mitt Cherry, a member of the vigilante committee, or as TJ calls it, the vigilance committee.
Yeah, them damn vigilantes.
Yeah, Mitt Cherry, no relate to Mitt Romney, was implicated for forging a letter from one of the victims, informing the man's wife that he had arrived safely at his destination in Illinois, the worst state in the United States.
Back then and today.
Brockman would be arrested again 23 years later for the rape and murder of his own 18-year-old daughter. So, fuck that guy. I hope he got his fucking dick cut off and hung by his asshole.
Exactly.
Yeah, pull his asshole out, pink sock style, tied around his neck, and fucking hang him.
Yeah.
So there was a $3,000 reward for their arrest, which by today's rates is about $56,000. But no one ever got to claim it. Several vigilante, or as CJ calls it, vigilant groups, claimed to have found and killed these fucks, but no one could ever back it up. The official investigation notes that testimony from railroad employees placed the Benders boarding a train for Humboldt and traced the younger Benders to trains going to Texas or North Mexico, aka New Mexico. The older Benders were allegedly seen on the way to St. Louis by way of Kansas City, but no one really knows what the fuck happened to them. But there is this, and I found this confusing as fuck. So on motherfucking Halloween, October 31st, 1889, which is a long time from when the murders happened, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's reported that a Mrs. Elmira Monroe, who, to make things simple, I'm going to call Mom Monroe, and Mrs. Sarah Eliza Davis had been arrested in Niles, Michigan, which is often misreported as Detroit, 7 weeks earlier for larceny. They were released after being found not guilty, but then immediately they were rearrested for the Bender murders. Apparently the daughter of one of the Bender's victims, Frances McCann, had reported the pair to authority in early October after tracking them down. McCann's story came from dreams she had about her father's murder, which she discussed with Sarah Eliza, which I don't really fucking understand. Like, Frances was hunting down her father's murderers, found them, had a dream about them, told the killers about the dream she had about her dead dad, and then turned them in.
That's weird.
Like, I don't really fucking get that part.
Yeah.
But the women's Yeah, Jesus Christ, that time of night when I can't talk, a.k.a. 722. The woman's identities were later confirmed by two Osage Township witnesses from a tintype photograph. In mid-October, I love this name, Deputy Sheriff Leroy Dick.
Oh, that was going to be Leroy Brown.
The township trustee who had held the search of the Bender property arrived in Michigan and arrested the couple on October 30th, following their release of the larceny charges. Mom Monroe resisted, declaring she would never be taken alive. But, yeah, they fucked her up. So Sarah Davis claimed that Ma Monroe was Ma Bender, but that she herself was not Kate Bender. She was Kate's sister, which is a pretty weak-ass lie considering there weren't other Benders.
Yeah.
She later signed an affidavit to that effect while Ma Monroe continued to deny being Ma Bender, but then turned around and said Sarah was actually Kate Bender.
So I'm not the mom, but I'm going to say
that's that, a daughter.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it just gets way more confusing.
Oh, man.
So Deputy Sheriff Dick, along with Francis, escorted the pair to Oswego, Kansas, where seven members of a 13-member panel confirmed the identification and committed them for trial.
Nice.
Another of Ma Monroe's daughter, Mary Garday, I think it's pronounced,
okay,
later provided an affidavit claiming that her mother was actually serving 2 years in the Detroit House of Corrections in 1872 for the manslaughter of her daughter-in-law, Emily Mark.
What?
Yeah, records of the incarceration backed up this affidavit. So she was actually serving 2 years in 1872.
Okay.
So that means she couldn't have been Ma Bender since she was locked up.
Hmm.
Yeah. At her hearing, Ma Monroe denied any knowledge of the manslaughter charges. What? So she was like, nah, I wasn't locked up.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, she remained incarcerated with her daughter, Sarah.
Hmm.
But shit gets even crazier.
Uh-oh.
Originally scheduled for February 1890, the trial was held over to May. Ma Monroe now admitted she had married a Mr. Shearer. I don't know how to pronounce the name. Shearer?
Shearer.
We're going to say Shearer.
Sounds good.
Shearer. Mr. Shearer. In 1872, and claimed she had previously denied it as she didn't want the court to know that her name was Shearer at that time, and that she had a conviction for manslaughter. So she just admitted to the manslaughter,
yeah,
and she was like, yeah, I was actually married to this dude, too, that I killed. And the attorney actually produced a marriage certificate in indicating that Sarah Davis had been married in Michigan in 1872. That was a daughter.
Okay.
So that means that Ma Monroe and Sarah Davis were married and in jail in 1872.
Yeah. So
these murders happened between 1870 and 1873.
Yeah.
Yeah. So eyewitness testimony was given that Ma Monroe was Ma Bender.
Yeah. That seven people out of 13 on that panel.
Yeah. But Judge Kelvin Hobbs dismissed Mary Grade's affidavit, the so-called daughter, saying she was a chip off the old block. That's a quote. He found that other affidavits supporting Garday's were sufficient proof that the women could not be convicted. But I thought that she... Oh, okay. It makes sense now. Yeah, Garday was saying that her mom was in jail at the time and she could have done it.
Yeah.
Okay, but what confused me was that the judge said that her affidavit couldn't be accepted because she was a chip off the old block.
So your ma's bad, so you're bad.
Yeah, but she's saying her mom didn't commit the murders because she was in jail.
Yeah.
And the judge is like, I can't believe you because your mom's a killer and that means you're bad. So I'm going to let your mom go.
Yeah, we're just going to dismiss even all charges.
Even though the daughter was given proof that other people gave proof,
yeah,
that the mom didn't do it.
Huh.
It makes so fucking sense, right?
That sounds like something a judge would do, though.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, the affidavits and other papers are missing from the file in Labette County, so you can't do any more research. And some people suggest that the court didn't just want to, like, pay to house these women in jail, so they let them go. But I really don't think they're the better bras.
Yeah.
While these two were certainly like criminals and liars, as her own defense attorney admitted, the charges are weak, as I broke down here in the People's Court of Make Me a Fan podcast. Many other people doubted their identification as offenders. Rumors around these cases were fucking crazy as shit, dude. As I pointed out a couple times, and none of them make sense. Some people say that John Benner Jr. was a quote-unquote half-wit.
Oh, yeah. Lack of education.
I'm sure that's probably not socially acceptable anymore.
Oh, yeah. It's probably derogatory towards someone.
Mm-hmm. But other people said that that was a ruse, that he's just pretending to be a retard.
Oh, what was that movie with?
Yep, I have that in my notes. Oh. Like, he was pretending to be a retard, like in that movie with the dude from Seven who cut Brad Pitt's wife's head off, and then he walks away with a limp, but then he doesn't.
What was that movie?
The Usual Suspects.
Ah, I loved that movie. That was a good one.
Yeah.
I didn't even expect that at the end.
I only saw the ending.
Oh, nice.
So I was not shocked. But others say that Kate was a prostitute as well as a psychic and a murderer, which would make sense if she was, you know, prairie time hot.
Yeah.
But,
she was hauling it.
Yeah, she'd give a hand reading, give a hand job, and then smash your head in with a hand hammer.
2 cents for a hand reading.
2 cents, that's probably a lot back then.
Yeah.
You can get like your horse fed and your dick sucked for that much.
For like a week.
Yeah, apparently, I got no fact to back this up, but Ma apparently killed 3 of her older children because they were witnesses to the murders of her husband.
Oh.
And Kate was her 5th child.
Jeez.
And another rumor says that Ma murdered Pa over stolen property after they fled. It's also rumored that Pa committed suicide in Lake Michigan in 1884.
I wonder if it's near us.
I don't know. You went jet skiing in Lake Michigan last year.
Maybe I went over his body.
Maybe. So, really, who the fuck knows what happened to him?
Yeah.
Some investigations reveal that none of the Benders were actually named Bender.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, we're not done yet. Hold on, people. Grab your tinfoil hats.
Uh-oh.
And the only ones that were actually related were Ma and her daughter, Kate.
Okay.
Some reports say that Pa was born John Flickinger. Around 1810 in either Germany or the Netherlands.
Okay.
And Ma Bender was born Elmira Meek. And her first husband was named Grifford. And she gave 10 fucking kids.
What?
She had 10 fucking kids.
Oh, man.
Yeah. She was married several times before Pa.
So she was a whore. Kate's the daughter. She got it from her mom.
Yeah, Beckinsale is supposed to be the whore.
So they are related then, yep. I agree.
Your whoredom runs in the family.
Yep.
So she was apparently married several times for Pa, but somehow each husband died of a head wound.
Oh, boy.
What a coincidence.
Wonder how that happened.
Wow. Her daughter Kate was born Eliza Griffin. John Bender Jr.'s real name was John Gerbert.
Like the baby food?
I think he is the baby in the Gerbert man. Baby food.
We need a protest.
Oh, fucking hashtag fuck Gerbert. and many who knew them in Kansas said that he was Kate's husband, not her brother.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. Not really brother and sister. So it's okay if they fucked, like the Brady Bunch.
Or they just didn't care. Maybe they were brother and sister and they just wanted to have sex with
each other. I think it's more fucked up. I think it's like, it's just a fucked up mom and a fucked up daughter who found 2 fucked up dudes to fuck. And they all pretended to be a fucked up family and kill people in fucked up ways.
That sounds pretty fucked up. So I'd agree with that.
Yeah, this whole story reminds me of like a combination of like Psycho and Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
So, do you have anything on the victims? I know you covered some of it, but
Yeah.
There are so many of them. There's got to be something about them.
Yeah, I mean, there was stuff on, I would say, maybe not quite half, because they claim that there was more than 20 victims, but a lot of what they identified were just, like, parts of, from, like, various bodies. But out of the 20 or so, you know, there were the three that I mentioned earlier, the Mr. Jones in 1871.
Mr. Jones and me.
Exactly. And then there was those two identified men found on the prairie in 72. And then the real killing, or I guess I should say the real body started, you know, disappearing later on that year. The first one was a guy named Ben Brown. Now, see, this is the thing that I don't understand. Two things. For one, the money. A lot of these people traveled with a crap ton of money. Like this Ben Brown, in today's dollars and cents, he was supposed to have $52,000 on him when he disappeared. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, but these people are basically like moving across the entire country.
Yeah, I suppose.
So if you're going from Boston to fucking California to strike it big, you're going to take everything with you. They didn't have ATM cards.
Yeah, they didn't have banks and wallets.
Yeah, they didn't have Wall Street or the big bankers.
And cell phones that have all their money on it for them.
Yeah.
Dang. So, okay, that clears up one thing. Now, the next thing is with this next victim. There's this W.F. McCrady.
McCrady Hottie?
Yeah. So, I mean, he only had $760 in today's dollars and cents, but he also went missing with a wagon and a team of horses. So it's like, I mean, and there's more of these victims that had teams of horses and wagons with them. So it's like, dang, you know.
I know what happened.
This family, they ate them? The horses?
No.
Oh. What'd they do?
No, you sick fuck. Who eats horses?
Well, I mean.
This is a McDonald's.
I'm trying to think if I ever had horse. Probably.
I wouldn't eat horse.
I've had buffalo. Does that count?
No, buffalo's delicious.
Oh, okay.
And we should probably be eating buffalo now instead of cow. Why? We care about the environment.
Because cows are good for grass?
No. Fuck grass. Who cares about grass? No, buffalo's healthier for you and they're easier to raise. So instead of cow farms, we should have buffalo farms.
That'd work.
Way better for you.
All right. As long as it tastes good. I don't remember.
Buffalo is delicious.
Yeah. I remember having it in South Dakota. I don't remember what it tastes like.
Buffalo sauce?
Yeah, from Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah. That shit's delicious.
So yeah, they turned their horses into hot sauce.
No, you know what happened to the wagons and horses and shit.
Oh.
They took whatever was in the wagon, sold it in the general store, and then sold the rest of the shit to the fucking Indians.
Ah, yeah, those
there Indians. You go.
Man.
I cracked the case.
So many problems from those
That's what happens Americans. When you watch every episode of Forensic Files. I crack everything.
Before they crack it. All right, so then at December of 1872, four more people were found. They disappeared. I'm sorry. They weren't found until 1873 when they searched the Bender residence and surrounding area. But in 72, Henry McKenzie disappeared with a matched team of horses, $720. A Johnny Boyle disappeared with $200, a pacing mare, a $17,000 saddle. That's way more than what the horse even costs.
Yeah, right.
And, he was eventually.
So why don't you just get a better horse?
Yeah, right.
Maybe he's got a sensitive butthole.
Well,
he doesn't want that shit flopping around.
I do like toilet paper with aloe.
That's why we buy the $10, you know, four pack of toilet paper.
Yeah, four pack. But it's the mega roll. But yeah, he was found in a well. And then finally, George Longenschlager. I forgot what we called him.
Longcock?
Longcock, yeah.
Definitely Longcock.
Yeah, him and his daughter were
buried. It's spelled L-O-N-G-C-E-R.
Yeah, Longercock, yeah.
Longcock.
He disappeared with $38,000.
And his 18-month-old daughter.
Yeah.
Marianne.
And then, the last one to go missing, obviously that caused the big search, was in May of 1873, Dr. William York. He went missing with $39,000 and was recovered in the apple orchard. So the apple orchard is also where they found...
they found a shitload of people there.
Yeah, that's where they found, let's see, what was it?
John
Grillery? Male and female. Yeah, that guy. They found the various body parts. Yeah. And they all had, you know, their skulls crushed and their throats slit. But,
yeah. Didn't they find some in Drum Creek?
Yeah. Yeah. Drum Creek, on the prairie. And then, there's actually, I think, some other surrounding counties. I mean, yeah, there were some bodies found in Montgomery County and McCrady County.
Yeah. So they found basically like 20 victims.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the exception of Mackenzie and York.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, they're up in Independence with the Longcocks.
Right. Oh, and then while they were searching the cabin, they recovered three hammers, a shoe hammer, a claw hammer, and a sledgehammer.
I have all those down here right now in the basement.
Don't dig up.
Not those exact ones, but I have those weapons.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so these hammers that they found... Eventually, you know, they went from one museum to another museum and this other museum. But now you can actually go to Cherryvale Museum and see them because they're in a wall-mounted display case.
You know who owns that museum?
No, I don't.
The son of Leroy Dick.
Really? That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a full circle thing.
Yeah, they were given to the museum or Benner Museum in... 1967 by the son of Leroy Dick.
Ah, man. So everybody.
Yeah, he handed the search.
Oh.
He did the search, so he found them.
That's true.
And then he gave them over to the museum.
These are mine. I want some money for them.
So Leroy Dick's son.
And the last thing I have is they found a 4-inch tapered blade, like a knife.
Yeah.
It was found hidden in a mantle clock in the Bender house by Colonel York. It was eventually donated to, was it the Kansas Museum of History by York's wife, but not put on display. Supposedly, it still has reddish brown stains on it, and you can see it upon request.
Yeah, why is that not out?
Right? Yeah, let's display that. I mean, come on. That's history right
there. Yeah, they got hammers and shit.
Yeah, yeah. We're not going to display a knife with a little ketchup on it. We're just going to, you know, show these hammers.
All right. So those are the facts.
Yes.
Those are straight up Wikipedia facts.
Yes.
We did a lot of research on this.
Factual basis. It's in the history books. I guarantee it.
Yeah, it's podcasted now, so it's hardcore history.
Yeah, we're going down in
history. This is what you missed in history class. We're very super famous, super famous, super famous. So basically they never found these people. They've never been arrested, never been put to death. Are you a fan of the Benders?
I would say I am. Yeah. They definitely intrigued my interest.
Yeah, I never heard of these people. And when I found them, I was instantly a fan. And I messaged TJ. I'm like, we have to do the fucking Benders. These people are fucked up. They're basically Texas Chainsaw Massacre meets Bates Motel. Like... meets Wild Wild West. Like, there could have been like cowboy Wild shootouts West. And shit. You could have a fucking, this could be an episode of Wild World where someone wants to recreate this shit. So this was very fascinating to me, especially like the time period that is way before before H.H. Holmes's infamous killing spree. And this is the first like serial killer family, even if they're not really a family.
Yeah.
Like, these people are, they're literally the fucking family from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, man.
Yeah.
They're, like, in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, they're not the Wyatt family.
Yeah.
But they're, like, just people that are fucking crazy living together, killing people.
Yeah, and eating their body parts.
Well, I don't think the Benders do that.
No, but.
They should.
Yeah, of course, though, I might not have liked the story as much if they actually ate them, because then it would have been... basically the Texas Chainsaw Massacre family. So
Texas Chainsaw Massacre is basically Ed Gein.
Yeah, that's true. Because they like to wear skin.
And Bates Motel is basically Ed Gein. Do you think Ed Gein read about these people in school and he got those two movie ideas and he's like, I can't make a movie because I live in Plainsfield, so I'm just going to, my ideas need to just come to life. And he just went and did what he got from this movie, or not movie, the story?
Yeah, that could be, because how does Scream put it? What is it?
We all go mad a little.
Yeah.
We all
go mad sometimes. Oh, man. I'm so upset because that's my favorite franchise, and I can't even remember the quote.
TJ.
It's too late. It's past my bedtime.
What time is it?
7:43.
Jesus Christ. How long have we been podcasting for? Oh, yeah, we're about 54 minutes.
Something about, like that. About the huge.
Yeah.
I think hours about good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm a fan of the Benders, too. If you guys like this more serious, historical kind of episode, let us know, and we'll do more of them. I had a lot of fun researching it. I don't think TJ did because he's been sick.
Ah, screw being sick.
Yeah, but maybe if he ever gets over his terrible genetics.
Yeah.
Like, I never get sick.
I get all the bad genes from mom and dad.
Yeah, it's because after you create perfection, what's left?
The leftovers.
Oh, goddamn. All right. So thanks for listening. Follow us on Twitter. That seems to be our main social media platform. We are Make Me a Fan on Twitter. On Facebook and Instagram, we are Make Me a Fan Podcast. You can email us at makemeafanpodcast@gmail.com or go to our webpage, http://... makemeafanpodcast.simdiff.com. That's SIMDIF.com. Or just Google it. You found our podcast somehow. Yeah. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. I know a lot of you have. I've been talking to a lot of people on Twitter that have given me a 5-star review, but no one gives their address because if you give me a give us a 5-star review, we will mail you like a shitload of stickers. I have thousands of stickers. We will mail you a bunch with a handwritten thank you note written in crayon from the both of us.
I like crayons.
And I'll have Carrie draw a little smiley face on it. And we will mail you that for free just for proof that you gave us a 5-star review and your address.
Yeah.
And trust us, we won't come and find you and rape and kill you. I promise.
We just like reading about it and watching it. We don't actually partake.
Yeah. I promise for myself, I don't know what TJ is going to do.
I won't.
TJ works for the criminal justice element. I like Batman, so I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
But I do like serial killers. I'm a fan of the Bender family.
Yeah.
So that's all for this time. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Say bye, TJ.
Goodbye, everybody.
What the fuck?
Mental vacation.
Like a horrible individual.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Have anal sex with a person who, prior to the deed, has swallowed a piece of raw bacon.
What?
like fucking a chicken.
Well, making a fan of your crime.
He still had places to go. You know, there was still a bar.
Make me a fan, Kyle.